Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Cinema Gems. And as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, still exist, video stores do. And of course, guys, like I didn't say before in the intro, I am the Admirable Admiral, and this is Cinema Gems. And you're probably wondering, wait, but it's just you talking. I can assure you that the Honorable Tesla is here, and the fantastic Miss Frida. And you're probably wondering, wait, you really messed up the intro. Look, guys, it's been a really long morning, and I went full Yoda speak, so it's fine. Illustrious Butt Maestro, fill us in.
That was definitely take one. We, as always, nailed this on the first try, as far as y'all need to know. But welcome back to Cinema Gems, y'all. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the things we love. And thank you, Admiral, for having me on again, because we're going to talk about Star Wars again. I hope y'all are ready. The Star Wars episodes are always the most unhinged and always contain the most us just rambling passionately. So I hope that's what you signed up for. Welcome. Let's do this. What are we doing today, Admiral?
So we're doing Andor Season 2, but a different kind of strange, interesting way. I offered the Butt Maestro that we do the three clump episodes, so year by year. And he offered an even better idea, which I absolutely, as soon as he said it, I loved it. We're going by character today, guys.
Yes,
literally, character by character.
And I appreciate the Admiral for being flexible and being able to go with that. We'll see how it works. But I thought that'd be really appropriate because this is kind of the first real adult character drama we've gotten within Star Wars. It's not just keeping up with the Skywalkers, it's seeing every asset of this conflict and how they point and counterpoint and counterpoint. The constant back and forth game of tennis where some of the opponents don't even know who's on the other side slinging the ball back to them. This whole show is obviously a masterpiece. So many people on the internet have already talked about all the ways in which every bit of writing on the show is gold. Every bit of character development and acting on the show is gold. And we will absolutely talk about some of our favorite actors in the show, just like I'm sure we did when we reviewed Season 1. Because we did review Season 1, didn't we, Admiral?
Yep, we did. We reviewed it like 3 years ago when it came out.
It's been a while. It's been a while. But yeah, we're going to, I think, go over this character drama character by character. Now, I will say, if you have not yet watched Andor Season 2, what are you doing? Watch it. It's more topical than anyone can describe.
So for the listeners out there...
We'll get into that, I promise.
For the listeners out there wondering, hey, wow, whoa, this is really late into the game of when they're talking about Andor. Look, guys, a lot of stuff has been going on, okay? A lot of things.
Well, if you think about it, it's actually a good thing. Our review of this is so late because our recording schedule is so early.
Correct.
Y'all are only getting this episode because we reviewed it a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
That's how ahead of schedule.
We're actually reviewing it a couple of days after the No Kings March.
We are, which I think makes this appropriate in so many ways.
Because I actually went...
I would argue that the Admiral and I's system on Cinema Gems is in so many ways more efficient, more communicative, and more straightforward than a bogged-down bureaucracy with too many steps. And everyone has a superior who has a superior who has a superior, which I think segues us perfectly into the characters that I want to start talking
well
about.
Hold on one second. Can I say one thing about my show before we go any further?
Go for it, Emma.
So in Orlando, I went down pretty early, the No Kings March, about 2:33 o'clock. There was a group of people that was there. There was about looks like three groups of five, and I was there for about 10 to 15 minutes. Some of the signs I saw were really hilarious. Taco Man, I thought was actually wonderful. There's also some other signs I enjoyed that I liked, but there was one sign that I saw online. I think it was in San Diego of the No Kings March, which perfectly segues us to steal the Butt Maestro's line right from under him. that rebellions are built on hope. Like, this is literally happening as we are recording. We are in the midst of something happening that should not be happening to our government. I'm sorry, but Maestro, I wanted to say that to clarify, to make sure. So you can go ahead and start with your two characters, which are Cyril, right?
Cyril and, oh, come on.
Deidre?
Deidre Miro. So, yeah. Like you said, lots of things going on with our government that really shouldn't be. This show and this season of this show, I think, are especially important right now, because not only does it give the handbook to rebellion, but it also gives us an inside look into the fallacies and overcomplicated nature, and all of the things that the overcomplicated machine that is fascism overlooks, and the ways in which it falls apart from the inside. And I think that Cyril and Deidre are perfect examples of that. Cyril, I'm going to boil down to, he is an incel obsessed with a Twitch streamer. He is an incel who has an unhealthy parasocial relationship with someone he has hero worshipped without getting to know. He also just wants to be the goodest boy. That's it. Cyril just wants to be the goodest boy. He wants to be a people pleaser, but the people he wants to please are all the worst. So he's the goodest boy for the baddest people.
I would agree with you. To kind of roll into Deidre, who's played by Denise Gogue, and also Kyle Soler? Soyer?
Yep, I believe that's correct for both of them. And they both absolutely nailed their roles.
Yes.
So incredibly well in season one, and then they just amped all of that up in season two. And I think every little bit we get from these characters, of Deidre finally being let in the door a little bit and being able to peek behind the curtain of what's really going on in the imperial bureaucracy and the military-industrial complex, and seeing this operation that they want to mine Gorman, but they have to turn the people of the Empire against the people of Gore, when the people of Gorman have done nothing wrong other than exist and have resources the Empire wants. And we see, I believe in this first episode, talking to Deidre and her superior, we see Director Orson Krennic from Rogue One, who actually has no shortage of presence in this show. And Orson Krennic's kind of manipulation of Deidre, all leading up to, in the last few episodes, Cyril's incredibly poetic ending.
And her demise.
And her, yeah, exactly. Her being shown that her obsession screwed her.
100% it did. Her quote-unquote political party that she decided to pick left her. That's the perfect way to put it.
And part of the reason I wanted to start with Deidre Miro and Cyril is because I feel like in our modern day and age, there are no shortage of people who might in some way relate to Deidre and Cyril as just being cogs in the machine and not being 100% sure what the machine you're a cog in is making. But just wanting to be a cog in the machine, wanting to just do good, to be a part of a good system. And I think this show does an incredibly good job of illustrating the importance of waking up just enough to see what the machine you're a part of is making.
Yeah.
Before it's too late.
Can we?
And for both of these characters, it went on for far too long and became too late.
Can we talk about Edie Karn, Cyril's mommy?
Sure, I will say that the scene where Deidre absolutely puts her in her place is chilling.
Thank you, but Maestro, for literally stealing the words out of my mouth. Like, I had that speech ready.
I think it is absolutely chilling.
I had that speech ready, and you stole it out from under me. She goes in for the kill and attacks the jugular.
Not literally. She doesn't literally kill Cyril's mom. She... But, and I don't have a quote pulled up on me, but I absolutely love when she tells Cyril's mom, like, no, we will give you time. You will have time with your son, but the time you have with your son will be proportional to the amount of stress you cause in our lives.
And, ooh. and Edie's just like,
ooh.
She's insane, okay. And I love it.
Okay. Also, speaking of Gorman, a lot of people are like, oh, they're French. I actually don't think they're French. I think they're more based off the Belgian culture. I know that's
Belgian. Yep.
I know that's probably a hot take, but I think that they're more revolutionary. They're more about the garments that they wear. They're more about everything. And I've been to Belgium, and that is Belgium. Like, I personally think that that's also, I love the newsreels that we get. Gorman here. Let the spiders go ahead and dwindle all the Gorman silk. I'm just like, I want this for 8 hours. Sorry, that's me. Go ahead, butt maestro. I took the people down the weird wormhole. You keep going, bro.
No, it's a good wormhole because, like we said, the whole Gorman arc of this show is illustrating the Empire wanting to seize a people's resources with no respect or regard for the people there.
Which has parallels lots of people die. Right now?
And the Gorman Massacre is, I would argue, one of the most intense episodes of this show. And one of the most incredible aspects of this show is that you get to see the moment where so many people were radicalized. And the Gorman Massacre was a radicalization moment for a lot of people who would later go on to do insane things for the rebellion.
And I may be wrong in this, but wasn't an Imperial sniper on the rooftop that started inside of violence?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
I think it more or less was.
And it's just like, wow. That, it, so, the entire arc of Gorman was stupendous and really good, and we should devote more time to it, but there's so much to cover in this show.
So, I want to jump from Gorman. I think that is an excellent jumping off point to, well, at the end of the Gorman arc, and again, if you have not seen the show, you should. I just want to say how much I love the end of Cyril's arc and the end of Cyril's life. Because the last thing he hears, he has a parasocial relationship with someone who doesn't know he exists. So this is an incel who has a parasocial relationship with someone. He gets to meet that someone. And then that someone tells him, who are you? And then he gets shot in the dome. That is such an insane ending for this character, but I think it is so poetically perfect. So he dies in the Gorman Massacre. I think that's a perfect springboard into the person who becomes the mouthpiece for vocal speaking for the Gorman, and that is Mon Mothma.
Oh, you mean Welcome to the Rebellion? That speech that was, like, it was flawless.
Admiral, may I read two lines from that speech?
Go ahead.
I promise I won't read the whole thing, but I have the speech pulled up, and I just want to read two lines from that speech.
Make it so, bro.
Here it is. The distance between what is said and what is known to be true has become an abyss. Of all the things at risk, the loss of an objective reality is perhaps the most dangerous. The death of truth is the ultimate victory of evil. This show was written 3 years ago. This show was written before 45 became 47. I don't know. This show is insane. And the way it uncannily predicts what we would need at this very time, as a society, I hope this show is calling people to arms. I hope this show is waking people up to the reality around us. And to anyone who heard this speech and thought, when did Star Wars get so political? It's always been political, you numbskull.
literally Star Wars was based out of the Vietnam alliance of the American military.
1,000%. The Empire was never supposed to be Nazis. It was us.
People don't understand that. Can we talk about Luthen?
Absolutely talk about Luthen. And Skarsgård's performance throughout this whole show is insane. Also, going back and forth between Dune and seeing him as Baron Vladimir Harkonnen and then this as Luthen is insane because he does a lot of the same vocal things. He doesn't change his voice a whole lot, but what he does change is his posture.
You notice that too when he would change outfits? Yeah, when he changed outfits, he was like, he became a different person. Like, I feel like the only 100%. Person he was real with would probably 100%. Be, his secretary.
Clea.
100%. Like,
his assistant, the person who did most of the heavy lifting. And by the way, speaking of heavy lifting, Elizabeth Dulau, this is her first acting gig.
And she knocked it out.
She got right out of acting school and auditioned for this.
She knocked it out the park, man. I can't even see. It's an orbit. That's how good her performance is.
No, she, Elizabeth Dulau, if I shout out one person in this for an absolutely insane acting performance, it's going to be Elizabeth Dulau because, wow, I need to see more of her. She's so good. And her and Luthen as a duo, as a surrogate father-daughter relationship, as two people who adopted each other and found each other and carried each other through tragedy. There's so much to talk about with Luthen and his kind of rise to prominence, his pattern of disrupting political ecosystems and benefiting from that disruption and then getting the heck out, like we saw in the Naboo flashback. Absolutely insane. We also see in this show so many different kinds of rebellion. We see Luthen's brand of rebellion, which is absolutely ruthless, but living in the shadows. We see Saw Gerrera's brand of rebellion, which is the opposite of living in the shadows, but still a whatever means necessary mentality. Which, as everyone around him is so quick to point out, is super disruptive and stupid and self-destructive.
I 100% agree with you about Maestro. I 100% agree with you. And also, talking about Luthen and his surrogate daughter, the fact that you get an entire flashback of their relationship while he's on his deathbed, spoiler alert, and then she ends up distracting the entire hospital and Imperial presence in said hospital, that she assistly suicides him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really sad, but he had secrets that he had to take to his grave, no pun intended. Like, it's really sad that she had to basically kill her own father.
Yeah. That pull the plug moment was gut-wrenching.
I was going to say,
because in her mind she's doing what she has to do to keep the operation from completely imploding.
I was going
to
say hard to watch, but gut-wrenching is also a very good choice as well. It's really sad.
It's hard to watch, to say the very least.
Saw Gerrera?
Saw Gerrera, and from Saw Gerrera, I want to, because friggin' Forrest Whitaker is awesome in everything he's in. Y'all already know that. He's so good at acting out the unhinged aspects of Saw Gerrera, and I love that we got to see Willman really flourish as a character, struggling to survive under Saw Gerrera. And I was so relieved that he got out and joined, like, the rebellion proper and realized, wow, Saw is completely unhinged and insane and is going to get himself and a lot of people killed.
So the part where he was teaching that other guy how to fix the engine.
Yeah.
And Saw literally pointed a gun at Willem but shot the other guy because he moved the gun. Yep. That was an intense scene as well. It was a very scary scene. A very scary scene. Because you didn't know.
Really, really intense.
Like, Saw is, like, as the Bumeister said, completely unhinged, insane, and probably a little bit nuts to be thrown in, to be honest with you. And he just planted...
I want to jump from Saw Gerrera to Willman to Vel and Cinta.
Okay.
Played by Faye Marisay and Varada Sifu, who were both, again, amazing. We saw them in season one, starting with the heist on Aldani, question mark. I think I got that right. And then we see them again in the beginning of this season. They had been separated for a while by Luthen because Cinta is still kind of doing some errands for him, including but not limited to potentially executing Mon Mothma's childhood best friend because he's a liability now.
Because
he went and got himself into more debt and is continually asking Mon Mothma, hey, I need you to financially support me more. Hey, I've done all these things for you. I'm going to have to sell you out to the people with money if you don't keep my money coming.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of the person that, quote-unquote, executed Mon Mothma's friend, that's actually, she's Belinda Chandra from Doctor Who Season 2 of Shuri Gatwell.
Yes.
She does a stupendous job in that, but she does a really phenomenal job in this. Like, wow. And the fact that a random, like, nobody, a Belgian nobody, whatever, on Gorman, accidentally gets her killed, and he has to live with that for the rest of his life. Whatever he does, he has to do it for her now because of what she would have done, because she can't now because she died on his watch.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much it. But Maestro, I'm sorry. Like, that's just one thing I wanted to get out the way. Like, the fact that she died on his hands.
I think we've done enough. Kind of. Oh no, we got one more big one to talk about before we get to the actual main character of the show. And I again thank y'all for bearing with this experimental format. But part of why I wanted to do this and kind of start with the bad guys, start with Ciro and Deirdre, is because this show is chock full of people who these characters think that this is their show, especially the Imperials think it's their show, and every one of these characters gets their chance in the spotlight and to show the impact they have on the galaxy. And for several of them, like Mon Mothma and Willman, the things that revolutionized them and radicalized them. And then there's Bix, because by the time we get to Bix, she is still very traumatized from getting the whale scream mind torture from the end of last season. And just wants to get that guy and those sounds out of her head. We see someone who is absolutely traumatized and still struggling with that trauma and that pain. And I think this is an incredible portrayal of PTSD, of trauma. And it's really not helped at all by the inclusion of a scene that I understand why a lot of people thought this came out of left field and was a bit intense. But I also think it's justified within the series. It is very hard to watch, and I did skip the scene on my second watch, as you are absolutely allowed to as well. But I think it would be a disservice to all of the people who have experienced real trauma at the hands of the people who claim to have the law on their side to exclude the scene where Bix is assaulted by an Imperial officer.
Oh, I'm glad you... I'm not glad you brought it up, but I'm glad that...
I'm not going to say the type of assault that she goes through, but it is the kind that you're going to need a trigger warning and brace yourself.
Yeah, there was a...
Fortunately, that guy gets shot in the head.
Yeah. I mean, look, Bix did an amazing job with whatever she was given, and that scene was absolutely gut-wrenching. Like, it's one of those scenes, as the Bemaestro said, you should only watch it once. Like, you shouldn't watch it more. Because I didn't rewatch that scene.
I understand why a lot of people saw that scene and thought that it might feel out of place in Star Wars, but please keep in mind, this is the epitome of Star Wars reflecting the horrors of reality and the horrors of war. And there are a lot more qualified, educated, well-read YouTubers out there who have covered countless instances of American troops in previous wars going into foreign countries and doing unspeakable, terrible things to the women of those countries.
Correct.
So do not tell me that there isn't real life parallel for this, where there very definitely is.
So I guess it would have to be said that Star Wars is just an image, a mirror that we see. I'm sorry, an image in a mirror that we see. I reversed it on myself. An image in a mirror that we see that we hold up to a history book. Like,
something like that.
It's refracted a certain way, and you're like, oh, this is Star Wars. This is digestible. This is real life. It's sad to say that that's real life. The Imperials going over and finding out people who aren't documented. And also, oh my God, when they killed.
Lasso.
Oh my God, I was almost done.
It was a gut punch. It was a gut punch, and we were given 5 seconds to digest it and get over it before they moved on.
And the worst part is they left
they
BMO.
Didn't have time to linger.
Left BMO.
Oh, BMO. No, BMO's fine by the end of the show.
Correct.
And guess what? So is Bix.
And she.
So is Bix. I will say, speaking of gut-wrenching moments in the show, and I think this is going to springboard us very easily into Cassian, finally. But one of the more, and there is no shortage of gut-wrenching moments in the show, but the one that actually made me cry was Cassian coming back from the Mon Mothma gig to Yavin to find talk with Bix, tell her I'm leaving, I want out of this, and then to wake up and see Bix's message. Now, we, the audience, get the good news, the silver lining of Bix did this because she was pregnant, and she knew that if she told Cassian she was pregnant, Cassian would not go on to do the things that we know he does in Rogue One.
And I'm sad to say, but he needs to. In order for everything to go to fruition of what it needs to be, in order for the start of the fire, the one spark of the rebellion to start the fire that is the explosion of the Death Star, he has to fulfill his destiny. And
now, speaking of his destiny, I think we can finally talk about all of the shenanigans that Cassian gets up to in this season.
Hold on.
When we first see him in this season, he's hijacking a, what I'm going to call, experimental TIE interceptor.
But Maestro.
That looks a whole lot more like Kylo Ren's TIE fighter.
But
much, much later on, it's definitely a prototype of some kind.
But Maestro, I would like to talk about one thing, and then we can talk about Cassian.
Go for it.
After Bix is seeing the silver lining, but Maestro said she was pregnant. Do you think that is possibly a character from a sequel series, the sequel movies?
I think Bix and Cassian's son now lives in a weird liminal space of Star Wars characters who were not killed by the end of the season, and as far as we know, are still alive for at least one or not, if not more, of the original trilogy, and then potentially later on, New Republic sequel trilogy.
So you don't think he could be Poe?
So I think Bix and Cassian's kid is now among Kleia, who is still alive at the end of the series, as well as Omega from the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Who, as far as we know, at the end of the Bad Batch, becomes a rebel pilot.
Yeah.
So we might see all of these characters who were threads left dangling, left hanging, left alive at the end of a non-movie. But still might be canon somewhere. These toys are still in the toy chest, ready to be played with.
So you don't think it could possibly be Poe Dameron?
I don't think it's Poe.
Okay. Okay.
I think it would be a mistake to make that character a character we already know.
Perfect, because I agree with you as well. I saw some discourse online that, oh, it could be Poe, oh, blah, 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 blah. But look, it's fine.
I don't think so.
K2SO, I understand you want to talk about Cassian, but we got to talk about K2SO before.
We got to talk about K2SO. You're absolutely right, because we see Cassian take damaged K2, this KX unit, off of Gorman Massacre, and then bring it back to Rebel Base. And they're like, wait, what? You have what?
Yep.
So clearly a big deal. It's also, I think, a big deal that they let him keep it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They let him keep this KX unit as his new buddy.
The only downside about K2 is I wish we would got, I wish he would have came in a year earlier.
Me too.
I wish we got a little bit more of him. Maybe that's just me loving the character so much.
He definitely, he would have gotten in the way of him picking up Mon Mothma.
Yeah, or he could have helped. He could have brought the car around. You never know. But that's besides,
I don't know.
That's besides the point. I love every one of his interactions with Imperial troops. Like, hey, who sent you in? Nobody. Boop! Just knock you off a giant bridge in the middle of a space of Coruscant. I'm so sorry about my show. You can go ahead and talk about Andor now. I just want to talk about K2SO. That was it. Alan Tudyk.
No, I'm so happy you talked about K2SO.
Chef's kiss.
Alan Tudyk, who loves reminding us that he went to Juilliard to do silly stuff like this. To get an emotion capture suit on stilts.
And to basically...
And improv being a big grumpy droid. I love it. I love K2 so much. And Cassian, through this whole series, sees so many different flavors of rebellion. From the Lord of the Flies, abandoned rebels on whatever planet he crashes the TIE prototype on, to the people of Gorman who were just trying to survive.
I think that turned out to be Yavin 4. When they crashed, I think that was Yavin 4.
Yeah, I think that was Yavin 4. And I think it's totally plausible that from that, Cassian's like, hey, rebels, y'all looking for a home base? This little planet is so tucked away and it has no one on it.
Yeah.
I love that we get multiple moments of radicalization from Cassian, because all of the things that he has lived through in this series all culminate into him getting the Death Star plans.
It's such a great job that he was given, and I've seen in interviews before where they're like, oh, would you do a season 3? And he just goes, no, my character dies at the end of Rogue One. I'm done.
There is no need for a season 3. Like, the story has been told. This springboards so perfectly into Rogue One, which makes me ask you, Admiral, did you right after
immediately
the finale of this show go right into
immediately
Rogue One?
Patron was like, hey, what do you want to put on? And I was like, oh, I'm already putting it on. Immediately started Rogue One. Immediately. Because
we did Rogue One the very next day after we finished Andor season 2, and I absolutely recommend it. I think it makes the movie make more sense. I think it also makes, and a YouTuber, Bricky, pointed this out, and I love it so much, two seasons of slow-paced, slow-burn, realistic character building with no one around who is sensitive in the Force makes it so that in Rogue One, the first time you see Vader joke, Ben Mendelsohn, Krennic, is insane. And not as insane as the moment where we get Vader down the hallway in the Tantive V absolutely slaughtering
four
troops. To go from, I don't know, it's just really cool to see, to be reminded that this is a huge galaxy and there are tons of people. In fact, the majority of people in this galaxy have probably never encountered a Force-sensitive
being,
full-on Jedi or Sith.
Also, but my show, I'm sorry, I have to, actually, but it's the Tantive 4, not 5.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I'm that guy. I just want to clarify. Tantive 4.
But you did say I'm actually, so the point stands. This show was incredible. What moment in this show radicalized y'all? is what I want to know.
Are you asking me and the listeners?
Which moment in the show made you go, dang, and look out your window?
It was the Gorman scene for me. It was 100% the Gorman scene.
Yeah.
And also seeing it play out over the, I'm sad to say, but past couple of weekends. The radicalization.
Yeah. Yep.
The Fantastic Miss Frida, her favorite part was when BMO showed back up, because she was literally nervous that BMO was going to be left on that farm planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, BMO. BMO's so freaking cute.
And the Honorable Tesla, for some reason, not every time that K2SO like punched an Imperial, but like I guess somebody was throwing stuff in the recycling bin away downstairs, but would barked once when K2SO punched an Imperial. Like, straight up barked, and I'm just like, whoa, did that radicalize you? Is that, did K2SO radicalize
good
you?
Tesla.
But Maestro, what was yours?
Gorman was definitely one of them. And if Gorman hadn't already, Mon Mothma's Senate speech.
Yep.
Was definitely a big, big pivotal moment for me. Oh, real quick, I also want to shout out, where did he go? Benjamin Bratt. They tagged in a different actor than usual to play Bail Organa, and I think he absolutely nailed it. I think he 100% conveyed the reluctant but like very important, like, I have a purpose to serve, and that's to be a shield. I come from wealth. I come from like a fortunate upbringing. I've been lucky. I can afford to be the wall in between these Imperials and my friends who need to get out.
So
first.
I'm not saying I didn't like his performance. Benjamin Bratt is amazing. Like him as
fantastic. He had so much poise.
He's also he's the villain in Coco. He's Ernesto de la Cruz. Stupendous. Really good.
Yep.
I am sorry. Jimmy Schmitz for me is always Bail Organa. I'm not saying Benjamin Bratt did a bad job. To me, it was a juxtaposition, but I understand why they did it and I'm okay with it. But he did a really good job. He did a really good job. It's just a juxtaposition from watching Rogue One and seeing Jimmy Smits, like, within, like, a year or so, canonically, growing all white hair when Benjamin Bratt didn't really have that much white hair. Sorry, that might be the canon coming out of me, but that's just me. I'm so sorry, but Maestro, I didn't mean to walk over what you have to say.
Hey, Admiral, I know this is a show about revolution and radicalization, but at the end of the day, Star Wars is about space wizards. Let's not take it too terribly seriously.
I understand. I know. I'm sorry. I have my moments.
All that being said, here on Cinema Gems, we have a rating system.
Full gem, an amazing movie.
Half gem, it's just okay as a show.
And no gem, horrible. But Maestro, what do you give Andor season 2? From 2025. I flipped the tables on you.
This is a whole
gem. I flipped the tables on you.
This is a whole... Oh, I got you. This is a whole... This is an antique Imperial Star Path unit.
See, I thought of it as a little dust-covered relic, full gem in Luthen's vast archives.
Yeah. The Imperial Star Path unit that Dedra Miro brings to him as a checkmate.
Oh, I...
Before Luthen turns the checkmate around on.
Yep. Because he's that, I guess, throat-killing person? Yeah, no, he's really, really good.
Because she is that over her head. Because she spent the majority of her career being enabled by her superiors to be so in over her head that she would be easy to use as the fall guy.
Yep. Yep. So, guys.
Anyway. I loved this show. I loved this season, and I want to know what y'all think about it, too. I want to know the moment in this show that radicalized you and woke you up to the real world around you.
Please email us.
What moment in this show made you realize the parallel?
Please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. Please let us know what you thought of the show. Please let us know, like the Butt Maestro said, what was your favorite radicalization moment of the show? And made you, to quote the Maestro, look out the window and go, wow. And
oh, wow, our world is in fact on fire.
Exactly. And guys, also remember that, you know, we got a special month coming up in a couple, is coming up next week. And we're not going to really say anything now, but we do have a special guest next week that is a friend of the show. Unfortunately, the But My Show and Him have not met in person, but
I haven't had a chance to meet him yet, but I look forward to listening to his episode with you.
But he was a little bit deterred that he wasn't able to meet you in person or even hear you on the headphones. He was a little bit upset, but
well, dang, I'm sorry, but I can't wait to listen to you and Daz Masters episode.
Exactly. Also, guys, remember, let us know what you want us to review. Unfortunately, for the next 5 weeks, we have a set schedule. But after that's kind of a free-flowing schedule. If you want to email us in and let us know what you want us to review. I know there's a few listeners to the show. I'm about to sneeze, but my shirt. Take it away.
I want to thank all of our Swapper Jacks friends and family members and our amazing Cinemaniacs for listening and coming on to the Lowering Pictures website and giving us numbers. As y'all know, we still do this for free. We don't collect any monetization off of this show. This is our little weekly therapy between us. And the fact that it happens to get uploaded to the internet somewhere is just a fun bonus. If y'all are listening, and D4. If y'all are listening D4. And enjoying this show, thank you for doing so. D4, it's the bless spell.
I know things. I know things, but Maestro. D4, bro.
D4, it's the bless spell.
As the But Maestro said, we do this completely free. We have been throwing back ideas about possible, as a joke, t-shirts, but maybe this could be real. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. If
we've been thinking about merch for quite a while, and we have a few ideas sketched out. Maybe we might post them to the Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
And if anyone's interested in it, we might make some shirts or something.
Yeah, please.
You know, of like a flaming windmill.
Yeah. And you're probably wondering, wait, what would you use the funds for? So, look, this is what we'd use the funds for. We'd use the funds
to upgrade our equipment.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we'd use the funds for. That. Specifically, that only. To upgrade our equipment.
Yeah, if we made money off of this show, it would go directly into improving the quality of the show, the audio quality of the show.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's places for my audio quality to improve because I am a classical musician. I am not trained in all of this technology. I don't know how to make my voice sound better once it goes into the microphone.
That's where I come in. But guys, listen, if you have a favorite moment or a favorite saying, please don't take it out of context in a wrong way, that we have said or that we have made a joke of, obviously 100% tasteful, not bad. Please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com and maybe we'll throw a poll around. I don't know. The Buttmeister did mention Instagram. That Instagram is still up. But unfortunately, the only social media that we have is on Letterboxd, Cinema Gems Pod, capital C, capital E, capital P. Please go on. That is the most active social media that we are on. So please go in there and like the reviews that I do. And also, guys, remember, guys, thank you to Marty and the Eric Zerber for allowing us to be on your website, lowrainpictures.com. Please go on the Your 30 tab, guys, and show them some love. And show also on the What's On. I was on a What's On recently, like probably a month ago. I had a really fun time hanging out with Marty. It was nice to see him in, you know, an actual person self, like seeing him in self. And there's also another episode. I don't know if it's out yet, but I had a good time talking about fatherhood, even though I'm not a dad. You know, I had some very compelling questions that he really enjoyed and liked. So I'm glad that he did. Also, guys, I don't know if that's out yet or not. So I'm hoping I'm not spoiling anything for it. But please go to the Your 30 tab and the What's On tab. Guys, we pale in comparison to them, and that's no pun intended. Trust me, guys, any episode you pick from them, amazing. And then you can, you know, go on Cinema Gems tab and go on that and pick any movie. Like, I've talked to many people about the podcast, and they're like, oh, what episode to start? Which episode should I start? As the But Maestro stated, scroll down until you see something you like that we reviewed. And if not, then pick something else. And also, if you're like, oh, this podcast isn't really for me, give it to your friend. give it to a person in your friend group that loves movies. We all have one, and if you can't find them, that means you are that friend. Look, guys, also, Kevin, George, thank you for letting us use your music. Bye, guys. See you later. Back to the show. It's okay to take time for yourself before you help others, to breathe, relax, and also blow bubbles. Because it is a breathing exercise, bubble blowing is. It's a breathing in and out.
Technically, he's technically correct.
Yeah. And also, guys, remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. Remember, black lives always matter, guys.
Always.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Remember the gore.
Oh, rebellions are built on hope.